All right, good afternoon. Much like yesterday, man, excited to get a victory, man. I don't know that we, matter of fact, I'm sure we didn't lead that game at any point until that ball went through the upright at the very end, and it's just really gratifying to win in a less than ideal circumstances in the midst of some adversity. And we had all of those things. You know, like I mentioned after the game, we didn't play as well as we'd like, but you also have to acknowledge that Indy did some really good things. We knew going into the game that we had some big games against them in the past, in recent years. We knew that we expected to get their best. They were coming off a tough road victory and getting an opportunity to play at home. We were coming off of a bye. You know some of the things that are worrisome under those scenarios. But in spite of all of those things, I also thought that yesterday's game provided an opportunity for our guys to smile in the face of adversity, to stick together. And for guys to step up and deliver critical plays and critical moments. And there's a lot of that to acknowledge. And so those things are good. Hopefully we utilize that experience and coming out of it in a positive way as a catalyst for us moving forward. I'd imagine, and a matter of fact, I'm sure of it, we're going to be in some tough circumstances moving forward. It's just the nature of this thing. And to know that your group has the character and the vision to stay singularly focused and persevere is awesome. As we look at and reviewing the game, offensively, I just thought we didn't win enough possession downs early on. They won third downs, and so we weren't able to find rhythm because of it. On defense, I thought we just at times did a poor job of tackling. I thought we did a great job of hustling. I thought we got multiple people to the ball. But we missed a lot of tackles, particularly in the first half of the football game. It enabled them to extend drives at times and convert possession downs. And obviously we gave up two significant big plays, and that can't happen. Those field-flipping, game-changing plays, those two touchdowns that they had. In special teams, we had a kick blocked. Obviously it was an opportunity for some guys to really put some awesome football character on display. The hustle of Jesse and the hustle of Jordan Berry, you know, it just is what it is, man. We appreciate it. The tape speaks for itself. We've had several instances in recent weeks and really in recent years where, you know, a real negative play becomes a very positive one. You can think about the interception that was almost returned for a touchdown in week 17 last year with Darius Heyward-Bey hustling and causing a fumble. You can think about in Chicago a number of weeks back now, Vance McDonald on a tremendous hustle play, and I think this play kind of falls in line with it. It was significant in the game and how the game unfolded, but besides that, it's just, you know, that ball doesn't get blocked and then you decide to chase. That is just revealing of quality football character. That's part of those guys, and for them to put that on tape is contagious, and we're excited about it. But, again, we're working on a short week. A lot of lessons to be learned from that. We'll learn them quickly and move forward. I think it's appropriate that we push our energies toward Tennessee. They're a 6-3 group. They're a division leader. They're as hot as we are in terms of winning football games. I think they've won 4 in a row, just like we have. We got a short period of time in which to prepare. I'll outline some things regarding those guys quickly. I think it starts offensively with Mariota. His mobility is an issue. It's an issue because of design runs. It's an issue because of his ability to extend plays or create when plays break down. We got to be conscious of his physical talents in that way, whether schematically or even in play. His mobility is a problem. For everyone that defends him. They got a nice, formidable back tandem in Murray and Henry. Man, they're really solid. Murray has had a great career, has been consistent throughout. Henry's a young guy that's been an awesome supplement to him, a bigger-bodied guy, a slashing downhill type. Those guys, coupled with Mariota's mobility, has really got our attention in terms of working to minimize the run game. And in the passing game, they do a nice job of marrying their play passes with some of the runs that I just mentioned regarding those people. Mariota's running ability creates awesome play-action pass opportunities and throwing windows for these guys will be challenged in a big way in that regard. They've got some talented people to throw to. They've just acquired Decker in free agency. Corey is a top flight wideout they drafted in round one, who's getting his legs under him and playing now in back-to-back weeks. Matthews is a guy that's been really solid for him for a number of years. But you can't talk about eligibles without talking about Walker, their tight end. I mean, this guy is probably 12 or 13 years in. His body of work speaks for itself. He's a matchup issue, maybe not in the ways that, you know, some of the longer basketball guys are, but this guy is a top-flight athlete nonetheless. He gets in and out of his breakpoints extremely well. He creates separation. It's obvious that he is a tremendous security blanket for his quarterback. Up front, they've got two top-flight first-round offensive tackles that do a great job of protecting them. They're not sacked a bunch. I think Mariota's gone down 11, 12 times on the season, so we'll be challenged in that way. On the defensive side of the ball, man, we're playing Dick LeBeau. And, you know, as awesome as it will be to see Dick, on a personal note, he's not the type of guy you want to see in a headset on the other sideline. You know, in the midst of their four-game run is quintessential Dick LeBeau, man. They're taking the ball away. They're minimizing run game. They're making the explosion and splash plays that is the signature of his ball. And that's a significant reason why they're 6-3 and division leaders. They got formidable people up front. Casey is a guy to handle inside, has been for a number of years, multiple-time Pro Bowler, one of those perennial Pro Bowler types. A quality football player, good run stopper, not given enough credit for his ability to rush the passer. He's a force for them. They got good guys off the edge in Morgan and Arapco. They do a good job mixing things up, getting on the edge of people. They're very multiple, as you know, is a signature of all Dick LeBeau defenses. You know, who comes, who drops. You know, it could be anyone. They have that type of flexibility, and they challenge you in those ways. I like some of the things I see going on in the secondary. Logan Ryan, particularly, is a really sharp, tight coverage man. He plays outside in their base defense. He plays inside in sub-package football. He really appears to be a rock-solid above-the-neck player. Reminds me a lot of a Deshae Townsend, who obviously Dick coached and is their secondary coach. So there's a reason why he probably looks like Deshae. It's going to be one of those interesting, challenging weeks for us. Nick Eason is their D-line coach. Former Pittsburgh Steeler. So those guys have an understanding of what we're about and how we function. Sure, it'll be an element of play. It won't probably be a significant element of play. We're familiar with them as well in some ways. Got to talk about their kicking game, man. Their punter, Kern, is special. They've done a good job of taking care of the ball, and when you're punting the way that they're punting, they're a tough group to beat. We got to be better in the team's aspect of the game as well. They got an exciting young return man, and Adoree Jackson out of USC. We got to minimize his impact on the game. They utilize him even some in recent weeks since their bye on offense. And he's been a catalyst for some big plays for them, whether or not he has the ball or they use him as a decoy to create vertical opportunities for others. They do a great job in that way. So we got a lot to be prepared for from an injury standpoint. You know, we're still in the process of evaluating Joe's leg injury. It could be less than we think. It could be more than we think. The reality is he's not playing this week. We will leave him available to us in the short term until we get a better sense of, you know, what the prognosis is. Obviously, if there's a chance for him to participate with our team this year, we'll leave that light on. But really, we know he's not playing this week as I stand here. So our energies are not on those that aren't playing. It's on those that are. We'll do a great job of rallying around Cody and helping him prepare and look forward to him doing the job. You know, I know this injury will get a lot of attention, and rightfully so, because Joe's a significant component for us and a new guy and all of those things has been playing well. But injuries are very much a part of the game. We've dealt with them all year, and we'll deal with this one the same. Marcus Gilbert missed a significant amount of time, and Chris Hubbard's play made it a non-discussion. We didn't talk about it a bunch because his play was above the line. I think the same thing could be said for Tyson Alualu and his replacement of Tuitt when he missed a substantial amount of time in recent weeks. So you guys know our mentality. The standard is the standard. We'll expect Cody to play well. We'll help him in preparation, and he will. And hopefully Joe's injury will be less of an issue the more that Cody plays. And hopefully he'll have an opportunity to come back and be a positive contributor to our efforts in the ways that he has been. I'll be happy to address any questions you might have.
Mike, you mentioned your depth there, not specifically, but you mentioned some guys who do provide some depth, and they're all veteran guys. What does that do for a team when you're bringing in veteran guys off the bench like that?
You know, I just think whether they're veteran or young, I think we hold them all to the same standard. You know, Juju's a young guy who's been moving up the depth chart in some ways and playing. And, you know, if we put you out there, we have a certain level of expectation. It just so happens that the guys that I mentioned are veterans. We put guys on the field that we think are capable of helping us be successful, and we expect them to deliver. I think they expect that of themselves. And I think performances like guys like Chris Hubbard has given us and Tyson Alualu kind of fortify that mentality.
Mike, what you talked about, you outlined Dick's defense with the Titans. Do you see personnel similarities in those players in the same manner that he tried to build for the schemes that he had here?
I think more than anything, one of the things that I learned about Dick is, man, if you give him red paint, he's going to paint the barn red, you know, is one of his analogies. You know, he's always been sharp and flexible enough to meet the needs of the variables, meaning the people that he has versus the people that he's playing against. And I've come to know that about him, and I'd imagine that it's no different down there. He has a way in which he wants to operate, but he's light enough on his feet to adjust to meet the needs of his people. And equally as important or more important, he's light enough on his feet to meet the challenges that the opponent presents. It was interesting to watch their game, you know, against the Bengals. They historically are not a heavy man-to-man team. They came out and played man-to-man. They played two-on-one on A.J. Green. Everybody else played man-to-man. They won all the possession downs and won the game. That's Dick LeBeau.
Do you have an update on Mike Mitchell?
We'll see as the week goes on. Obviously, there's not a lot of physical participation to measure. But he has a chance, and we'll leave the light on for him. Same with Vance McDonald. I think it was another one that I probably failed to mention. I don't know that he did. He did not. Maybe Vance went back in some, but those are guys that went down in game.
Lots made about quarterbacks like Mariota coming out of the draft, whether spread quarterbacks can succeed. Now he's one of them that is succeeding. You know, how are the Titans able to put him in the right position?
You know, I just think they do an awesome job of system football, of utilizing his skill set, highlighting his skill set. And, you know, system is just that, a system. He has a skill set that is worthy of his draft status. I mean, he can make any throw on the field. His above-the-net game is really impressive. He makes good and timely decisions. He takes care of the ball. His mobility is an asset. I'm not surprised that he's having the success that he is, to be honest with you.
Mike, why did you throw the review flag?
On which play?
Forward progress. I'm sure you knew that that's not review.
I know. I just wanted a discussion. It's a frustrating element. Sometimes judgment is not up for review. I understand that. But sometimes that judgment is cloudy. I wanted to know what was the indication that forward progress was stopped. Was it the whistle? And if it was, then the ball was out before the whistle. And how is that reviewable? Is there audio on the review? You know, it was an interesting discussion. But it was a discussion I thought was worth having. I was frustrated because I thought we got the ball. But some rulings are judgment and are not subject to review. And I understand that element of play as well.
Do they have audio?
No.
They don't.
No. I know that they don't. I just threw that line in the water.
Does showing your team that you're fighting for them, does that ever factor in a decision like that?
I'm always fighting for them, so I don't need displays of that. I think they know that. I don't do things with that in mind.
Mike, why was the passing game so much more effective in the second half yesterday and How do you hope to kind of build that going forward?
You know, I just think offensively we were winning a few more possession downs, and that allows you to find rhythm and stay on the field and build off of the play that preceded and so forth. And when you're losing possession downs, you're not going to find that rhythm. It was funny that I mentioned the Tennessee-Cincinnati game. To watch Tennessee go man-to-man and win those possession downs, you know, Cincinnati ended up with, I think, less than 50 offensive snaps. There's going to be a lack of rhythm when you're not winning possession downs. And oftentimes, anything you're talking about regarding rhythm or finding your personality or getting hot is usually centered around winning possession downs. And more importantly, or equally as important, being in winnable possession downs.
Mike, how do you help your offense as a coaching staff to get into a better rhythm early in games?
You know, we just got to keep working. You know, sometimes you're going to start slow coming out of a bye. You hate it. You hate to even acknowledge it, but you acknowledge that it exists. Hopefully it'll be less of an issue for us this week.
Like Ben mentioned today, that even in the face of victory, it is your job as a coach to accentuate the negatives sometimes and make sure that they get better as the week goes along. Fans and media should just be happy with the victory. Is that how you view it as well, and how do you walk that line between trying to make the negatives better and still acknowledging victory?
You know, our job is to win. Football is our game. Our job is winning. The bottom line is to win. But you analyze those performances because you realize you're simply positioning yourself for the next challenge. So if I'm in any way negative in the midst of victory, it's done so with that purpose in mind, to increase our chances of winning the next game. If I'm negative in losses, it's done with that in mind, to increase our chances of winning in the next game. It's important that we master that process of prepare, play, analyze, repeat process. And that analysis is as big a part of it as anything, because it is your compass for the next preparation and the next play. And over the course of the year, it should be a cumulative effect where you work more efficiently, you get better. It requires less physical preparation, et cetera, et cetera. I think all of those expectations are reasonable. Those are the things that are kind of on my mind when I think about analysis of play and preparing for the next challenge.
Anything else for Coach?
What is Hayden's, or with Hayden's injury, how does that impact the decision about Cam Sutton, whether to activate him?
It doesn't. It doesn't.
Who's the next man up then?
Cody, who I was talking about, who played in the game.
Who would be Cody's primary backup?
I'm not acknowledging that there is a next man up. I just mentioned in the short term I wasn't going to make any moves regarding Joe, because there's a potential for him to be a participant for us in 17. So I think that discussion is premature.
Anything else?
All right. Great. Thank you, guys.